We're very happy to welcome the singer Alani to the cafe today. She was born in Britain of Grenadian parents, and she now lives in Paris. And she released her debut, well, the songs actually first came out on EPs in 2015, and now the full album, You and I, is out here in the States. Definitely the most romantic album in recent years, and one without any real contemporary precedents, although it seems to have roots in cabaret, maybe jazz, and I, for one, am anxious to find out where it all came from. Alani, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Boy, does my description of You and I feel inadequate. This is a wonderful, spare, direct trip through the arc of a love affair. And is it too much of an assumption to assume that it was it is autobiographical?
No, it's all fiction.
Ah.
No, it's a kind of combination of my experiences in love with one kind of person as a central inspiration.
The songs are, as we say, kind of very intimate, very honest. There's a certain vulnerability to it. Is it hard for you emotionally to revisit them every night?
No, it's different every night. That's what makes it so enjoyable. The music that I do isn't to a click track. It's not set. I think I'd go nuts if it was. I have freedom, so I can make it as different as I want it to. Like, for instance, with Cherry Blossom, sometimes I may do it fast or I do it slow, and then, you know, I can pick up the pace here, and it's always changing and flowing.
Mm. Well, we have performances from this past May at the Non-Convention in Philadelphia. And that night, your performance kind of followed the path of the album. Is that something you normally do?
That is one thing I try to stick to, because it just doesn't feel right otherwise. I think early on when I started performing, I would mix them around a little bit, and it was very clear, kind of feeling-wise, like, oh, nope, this doesn't work. And I was kind of told, oh, yeah, dude, maybe put a cover in between so you break it up. And I had to be really strict, like, no, it doesn't get broken up. It's a story. Maybe they're following it or maybe they're not, but I need to follow the story.
Well, we've been talking about Cherry Blossom, so let's begin with your performance of that. Alani, our guest.
Catch some cherry blossom by the river, blowing through the flowing of my heart. If you see me somewhere down that river, come and stand beside me, it's all right. Come to me and stay with me. Say you'll be a friend to me and love.
Day so
stand beside me is all right. Come and stand beside me. It's all right.
That is Cherry Blossom. That is one that begins the arc of our guest today, Alani's debut album called You and I, recorded live on stage at World Cafe Live in Philadelphia. Alani, what's your musical background? I read that you went to stage school to sing musical theater.
Yeah, I did. I started at the age of five. So when you say kind of cabaret, it's what I grew up singing at the age of five, which was probably a bit kind of adult content to be singing love songs at 5 years old. But yeah, that's how it all started.
Well, there is a musician in your family, and he mm-hmm. sang cabaret. Your great uncle, Hutch Hutchinson, Leslie Hutch mm-hmm. Hutchinson. I found some of his music, and we listened to just about a minute of this because this kind of put it all in perspective for me.
'Cause it happened one evening to me that certain night, the night we met, there was magic abroad in the air. Ever angels dining at the Ritz, and a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square.
That is the you're laughing, that's good. That is the great uncle of our guest today, Alani. That's Leslie Hutch Hutchinson, who was a huge star in London in the 20s and 30s, not without some controversy. He sang in theater. He sang for upper-class parties. When did you find out about him?
I think not until I was about 11 or 12, and then there was a biography written about him by Charlotte Brise, I think, or Brise. And when I read that, then his whole world opened up to me. It wasn't like I didn't have an obsession with him until it was weird. He got blue plaqued, and then I went to Grenada, and I just had this really peaceful experience there where I'd paint every day on the beach and just sit with the sea and was contemplating things. And Cherry Blossom came out and just came out of me 3 o'clock in the morning, wrote the whole song. And then I went back to London and I just made this shrine. I ordered a old gramophone copy of one of his songs, and I had the book up and just loads of little memorabilia things that I'd collected. And yeah, I created the shrine, and I just felt like, okay, I'm going to do this for you and take some of your strength and what you've already laid out. I'm going to continue on a path. And it felt good, felt right.
What did your parents tell you about him?
It was strange because they didn't really talk about him in a kind of, I think maybe because of his activities, his sexual preferences and stuff. I think, being old school, my grandmother and that generation were maybe a little bit embarrassed about it. I know when the documentary on Channel 4 came out and they were talking about him being bisexual and everything, though a lot of the elder Grenadians, they were like, what is this man? It's just kind of, oh, and then they'd be like, isn't that your family? I'm like, yes. Like, what's wrong? He was living, he was being himself, and we're in a different time now, but I think then there was some kind of reservation and secrecy about his antics.
Well, I just read a little bit about him, and I was struck with his relationship with the upper class. I mean, he had some affairs with women in the upper class, but to me, you know, he'd have these affairs, he'd play for them, but he had to come in the back door. This was racism in a different era. And it was really, really very interesting. But what a voice. What an amazing voice. And what a, I understand he was also friends with Cole Porter and sung some of his songs. And
yeah, they were friends.
Gotcha.
I've just gone back to what you said about the going through the back door kind of thing. I mean, I think he experienced that more when he was in Harlem living here, and like London and Paris were places of freedom, which we found, you know, you see that with a lot of black artists that have to go to these countries to feel a certain amount of freedom. Coming from Grenada, I think just the way he traveled around the world and his experiences were dealing with racism anyway, but at that time, you know, it's very different kind of things around happening around the world as far as freedom goes.
We're talking with Alani, and she has a wonderful debut album called You and I, and let's get back to the stage at World Cafe Live and to our story of a love affair from I and You. I'm sorry, from You and I. At this point, things seem to be going swimmingly on the song called Old Fashioned Kiss.
Just an old-fashioned kiss gives me heart even in winter. How can I resist? Oh, how you tease me. A simple kiss upon my cheek makes my knees a little weaker. Your lips are like spring morning dew on a red rose. A kiss of me quick, oh, a kiss of me hard. Oh, you make it slow, slow. Soft, oh, cheek to cheek, oh, palm to palm, oh, oh, just as long as you keep me close. Caress me in the park, smooch me up in the taxi, and those lingering hugs. You got me in paradise, and I'm feeling alone. Oh, so much love. And you get me those lips. Don't ever stop, don't you stop to kiss me quick. Oh, kiss me. Oh, you make it slow, slow, slow. Make it soft. Oh, cheek to cheek, palm to palm. Oh, no, just as long as you keep me close. Oh, just as long as you keep me close.
I haven't finished yet. I can finish now if you want me to.
Old-fashioned kiss from Alani from the stage of World Cafe Live. We're getting a chance to talk with her about her debut album and things that are going on, hopefully into her future. You mentioned singing background for a lot of people, and included, Andrea Bocelli and Mary J. Blige. pretty diverse. this, I don't know if this is going to really be relevant, but I'm just wondering, those, you know, Andrea Bocelli and Mary J. Blige, those are pretty big productions. Did that have any influence on you wanting to make such a sparse and intimate album?
No, I mean, most of the album was accidental. I was making demos, okay?
Oh, wow.
That's the truth.
Really?
That is the truth. I started off with a quartet, piano, double bass, guitar. Like, I went in and I had a, I was recording onto tape, echoed, massive big echo chamber. And then I realized, hold on, if I'm going to produce this myself, I'm losing control. I can't even put my harmonies on top of this because I don't know what I'm doing. I've never produced anything like this before. So I literally just stripped it right back and I found an amazing guitarist to just, we were hanging out in the studio. We were recording together and sat next to each other. Like I said, demos. I had there's an instrument called a guitarette by Hohner. I had one of those and I'd add a few layers of that. I had a steel pan as well and some big massive African drums, and I was adding very subtle layers to the sound, and that's how it kind of was produced in the end.
Wow.
Just very subtly.
Wow, thank God somebody said don't mess with the demos. It's great.
Well, I had to fight for that. I've had to come up against a lot of those things where I have to really dig my heels in, especially dealing with men in this industry, which it is led by. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the time, they don't really listen to women.
Well, let us listen to another performance. This is Suddenly. Now, what's happening in the arc of this affair on this one?
Well, she's waiting. She's waiting. She's fallen in love. Or they have fallen in love. They've kissed. And she's all wooey and wooed up and woozy. And then the reality slowly starts to set in that she's sharing this man with another woman. And she spends a lot of her time waiting for him, anticipating and being hopeful and watching the day turn from night to day, day to night. And, yeah.
Suddenly.
Suddenly, I'm woken by a vision of your blue eyes, so lovely. And suddenly, you're back with me, over hills and valleys deep, you find me. And the days carry on in spite of how I long for you. And the stars up above are invited to fall into thee. Of mine, oh, and suddenly I fear the worst. Have we been doomed to die? Oh, and suddenly have I been cursed to live alone this life? I am waiting all along. Just waiting for you. But still, the night seems so long, and the days carry on in spite of how
That is Suddenly, that is a performance from Alani, and we're getting a chance to talk about all kinds of things with her today. Alani, shortly after that song in the album, You and I, there is an amazing song that captures sort of the climactic point of the affair between, it's funny, and it does it between the first and the last verses. It's called Roses and Wine. Mm-hmm. Now, in the first verse, the character is you or whoever it is not happy and is starting to realize that the situation she's in is not going to happen. Well, let's listen to the album. Let's listen to that first verse.
You brought roses and wine, then ran out of time. Where you going to? Said you'll be back at nine, a comfort to my mind. Am I a fool? Do you really care, my lover, my friend? Then stay with me till the bitter end.
So you see what I mean there. But by the time we get to the third verse, it is over. And in the most adult, honest way, let's listen to that third verse.
You return just after nine with more roses and wine and some candy too. Go give them to your wife, keep her satisfied, 'cause she loves you, 'cause she loves you, and you love her.
Wow, I think that's just amazing. How you wrote that is that art, or is that how you imagined, or is that how you would like to have been able to, or whoever deal with this?
I can't even remember writing it, and that's the truth. That song was written about. How honest can I be about my love life? I guess I was at a point where I found it easier maybe to date men who were married. I've only done it twice, but just because it was like you'd get just a really nice side of them. You don't have to deal with all the smelly socks and underwear. And that particular song was written about a friend, who was a wine dealer, hence why it was called Roses and Wine. But he never bought me roses. He's now divorced and happy with someone else, and we have a lovely friendship that's come out of this union, a very deep and intimate one. Look, life is just like this. I think I'd like to think I'm old enough to be able to see how life flows and how transient it is. And if you meet good people, sometimes you don't know why you've met them, and you rush into things, and it can become sexual, and then you have to go through other things, but you can still be there and be present in their lives because you shared an important part together. And I played it to him and I wrote it. And he's like, okay, thank you. All right. He summarized it. But I don't know if I'm answering your question. I've just revealed. I've never told anyone that before. Yeah. I've never gone into... But you went into detail. You broke it down. You broke it down. Well, no one's broken it down before, so I had to break it down too, right?
I thought it was... I thought you were... It's an amazing way to tell that story. And I think you did... You know, hopefully you acted like that. Who knows how you acted in real life?
Well, we're still friends.
Well, there you go. See, it's all positive.
It's not... I mean, like I said, I wasn't being with men who were married to to break up their lives or anything like that. So I wasn't like an aggressive, bunny boiling Glenn Close woman. If anything, I was saying to him, dude, you need to either have some babies. I was giving him like marriage advice, and it was more that there was an attraction between us, but we just both needed some company, I guess. It was a healthy thing that happened for him with retrospect, you know.
Alani, these songs that we're talking about and these experiences or whatever are all probably feeling a little old to you now. I mean, they're definitely in the past, right? You've been playing them for a while. What's next? What are you looking forward to next?
Wow, I know. It's been a real journey. And I write a lot of my songs a cappella. I thought I'd kind of work on a kind of LP, EP thing, record thing, based on a cappella voices, and I'm kind of working in the process of doing that at the moment, which has been like it wasn't simple enough before. I've gone even further into stripped back music, and I saw on some tracks there's like 200 vocals, and so that's that. And then I'm looking forward to just a summer of just gigging and traveling. I love that part of being a musician, the traveling. And I've started a project with Adrian Young, and hoping to get back to LA at some point this year to finish that up. So that will come out after I've released the a cappella album. So, you know, I had an experience of using my visual capabilities and doing all the videos myself, kind of mostly on my iPad, and editing and all the artwork and stuff. So I know I have to kind of put some of that into the next projects that I do, but I'm also looking forward to collaborating with some people as well. So yeah, lots to kind of look forward to in the future.
Well, we look forward to that. It's been a joy. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Alani, our guest, back in a moment here on the World Cafe.